truth.
I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is April 11th. It's a Thursday, 2024. Well, as we continue to go down the world, as we see it, there is a lot of things out there that we understand are not accurate. And the sad part of it is I was actually spent most of my day, or most of my day, it's part of my afternoon, watching the FDA director who says that he is... wasn't around when all this crazy stuff happened. So just a second, doctor, and I'll have you on here in just a second, okay? It looks good. So thank you. So as I was watching this go on, this gentleman, he was very good about the deflect and redirect. He never really wanted to come out and say anything specifically, especially when it came to things like ivermectin. Ivermectin came up several different times, and so did the abortion pill. And they referred to ivermectin as being this, kills worms, and then the abortion pills saves lives. Guys, this is, I just wanted to say, guys, listen, how many people would die from ivermectin ever being used, like ever, whatever. Let's just have that conversation. How many people die from using ivermectin? Basically nobody. I really don't know if I can come up with the problem there. Well, then we go to the abortion pill, which is considered to be the premier abortion catalyst for the world. Okay, now, 24 years later, after this has been approved by the FDA, we're still talking about this pill. The problem is, it's not the pill. And I understand that no matter how much we want to moral into everybody with laws, we cannot put morality into people by lawing it into existence. It doesn't work. It never has. There will always be people killing people. There will always be people abusing people. There will always be people being taken advantage of. That is part of life in general. That's the life lessons we live. But my problem I have is the idea that they're saying that the black female needs the abortion pill because it's the only access she has to reproductive health. I don't know. Close your legs. Start with a condom. Use something else. You got a whole bunch of other things you could do in life. You don't have to use that orifice to do what you want to do in life. My problem is this is lazy, irresponsible, and misdirected. And the idea is misdirecting meaning that we're going to start birth control after conception. That is stupidity in motion. And we're not dumb. And when one lady got up and said, one of the Congress ladies, she got up there and had her stuff going on. She's all full of sass, and you can kind of figure out what she looked like. But anyway, she just like, are we believing the science anymore? Are we not following science? As you know, ivermectin, we know that doesn't help do anything with COVID. So obviously, you know, nobody knows what they're talking about when it comes to the abortion pill. Guys, this has got to stop. I have seen things go on in this country where we have exposed amazing amounts of hypocrisy and destruction in our world. And I am sorely disappointed that I was not aware of this before. 8 years ago, when I started getting into all this stuff and I started getting into this world in 2016, I didn't realize how bad it was. My eyes were off the prize, guys. My fault, not yours. My deal on my end, but you guys got to pick up your part. Now, I got to get back to doctor here. I didn't mean to go on too big a rant because she's only got limited time, but here she is. Doctor, I'm going to let you, Ingrid, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and I'm going to tune up my image real quick here. So, all right, Dr. Ingrid, go for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you today. My name is Ingrid Stopp. I am a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. I've been practicing in Texas for over 30 years. I am also the vice president and director of medical affairs of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which probably nobody's ever heard of, but you should look us up, lozierinstitute.org. Mm-hmm. We are a think tank that addresses science and statistics on life issues. And even people who are pro-life, who feel passionate about the issue, often do not understand the issue because Google is not pro-life. So if you try to do research on your own, sometimes it's really hard to find information. So that's what we do. We've got quite a bit of good information. I think you want to talk today about these abortion drugs.
I don't, I, we'll talk about any of it. I was just wound up about that stupid hearing. I happened to stumble across it, and then your guy wanted to schedule you today. So it's a coinkadink that everything worked out that I watched that.
No.
But she did refer to Texas as being the stronghold for eliminating abortions in America.
Yes, I'm very proud of my state. We want to protect unborn human life. So we can talk about a lot of things today. The very first thing that everybody needs to recognize is the pro-life position is the position of science. There is no one, no biologist that will deny the fact that the unborn human who is killed by an abortion is an individual, unique, genetically distinct human being. In fact, half of the time he's not a woman, he's a man. So he's within his mother's body. Of course, he needs the safety and the care and the nurture of his mother, as we all did when we were young and defenseless, but he is not her body. And when she makes the decision, or someone else makes the decision for her to end his life, that is the intentional killing of a human being. So if we start there, then we can really have a good conversation about what reasons should we allow the killing of a human being in the United States of America. We consider ourselves a moral country. We consider ourselves a country that cares about human rights. Well, let's start with that basic biologic fact. This is a human being who dies in an abortion. I think it's very important to talk about abortion drugs because this is the wave of the future. What we've seen since 2000 is every year more and more and more, higher and higher percentage of abortions are performed with these drugs. Last year, the Guttmacher Institute tells us there were over a million abortions in our country. That's higher than they have been probably in a decade. And that 630,000 of those, 63%, were performed with these drugs. It's not the same. Well, you can ask a question and then we
Oh, no,
can.
you're fine. You're fine. You're right. Yeah, it was 51% or whatever our abortions are done with this drug. You're absolutely right. Perfect. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's not the same as emergency contraception or Plan B. Some people are confused about that fact. Emergency contraception is an action taken after the act of intercourse, immediately after it, to try to prevent a child from coming into existence. The biggest problem with Plan B is it doesn't work very well. It delays ovulation, but if it turns out a woman has already ovulated, she often will get pregnant. So it's just not a very good, effective method of birth control. What we're talking about here, though, is mifepristone, which blocks progesterone receptors in the uterus. It cuts off the hormonal support and kills the unborn child. It is followed about 24 or 48 hours later by misoprostol that induces contractions to expel the tissue. So the women have a terrible experience. It's promoted to them as safer than Tylenol. They don't know. They will bleed an average of about 2 weeks heavily. Almost half of them describe the pain as severe. They are going into labor to expel their immature unborn child. And many of these women will see that aborted child. So this is the experience for women. And it has a lot of complications, four times as many complications as if she had chosen a surgical abortion. The abortion industry publishes most of the studies. They, of course, tell us it's very safe. They can do so because they will publish the results that they know about, and generally about a quarter to a third of the women that they've sold these pills to, they do not know their outcome. These women are lost to follow-up. So they assume those are uncomplicated, but experience has told us no, they realize when they have a complication they've been lied to when they were told it was safer than Tylenol. They do not go back to that doctor in many cases. They go to an emergency room or they go to another gynecologist. Again, I'm pro-life. I've never needed to perform an abortion in my 30 years. I have two patients and I care for both of them. And yet I've cared for many women with complications of these pills. And I am seeing more in Texas today than I did prior to the overturn of Roe because these drugs are being used to circumvent state laws to get these pills into states that are trying to protect unborn life in order to provide abortions.
Well, and I listened to a lot of this testimony today, and they did refer to the Tylenol is kills more people, and ibuprofen kills more people than the abortion pill. But the problem is the abortion pill kills somebody every single time.
Right. Yeah, if you're discounting the fetus entirely. And also, the only way they can say that, they're talking about Tylenol overdose deaths. Those are usually suicides, about right. 600 a year. Yeah. They also like to make the analogy to penicillin, which some people are deathly allergic to penicillin and die of anaphylactic shock. The CDC tries very little to pick up deaths related to abortion drugs. But even so, they have documented about 30 deaths. And many of these deaths have been due to overwhelming sepsis, a very virulent infection. In fact, the FDA has a black box warning on mifepristone warning about that infection. The FDA does not have a black box warning on Tylenol. So their own actions prove that they don't believe what they're saying. But again, this is the way that they're promoting it. A couple of things to be aware of. The FDA's own literature tells them that about one out of 25 women who take these pills will go to an emergency room with a complication. Again, one out of 25. That does not happen with Tylenol.
Right.
It's important, I think, I'm going to have to listen to the hearing you're talking about because I wasn't aware of it. But yeah. I think this is critical for people to be aware of about the FDA. It's a very highly politicized body. Anybody who didn't recognize that during COVID needs to understand that regarding abortion, it has done exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
When they approved this drug combination in the year 2000, they did show in a rush in the waning days of President Clinton's administration. They used accelerated approval regulations where they were required to redefine pregnancy as a life-threatening condition for which there is no other treatment. That's what those regulations are for. They're for cancer drugs. They're not for an abortion drug. And yet they misused that category so they could do this quickly. They never studied it in a pediatric population, even though there's no lower age limit. They, in fact, over time, they've removed safeguards, critical safeguards, by pointing at studies in which those safeguards were used. For example, in 2021, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they took away all in-person supervision. So now these pills can be ordered by telemedicine, or they can be ordered online without anyone even knowing who is ordering that pill. No one is doing ultrasounds. The woman is being asked her gestational age, and we're assuming that she's correct. But you know what? If she's further along in the pregnancy, this is a much more horrendous experience for her. It's already horrendous when it's used less than 10 weeks, which is what the FDA tells us to use it. But if she is further along, she may go into labor and deliver a child, sometimes a child who could have survived. No one is doing an ultrasound to rule out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy. And again, you cannot definitively rule out an ectopic based just on symptoms or history. And the FDA has recorded women who have died from ruptured ectopic pregnancies and internal bleeding while they thought they were undergoing an abortion, because these pills will not work to resolve an ectopic. They're not doing labs to look to see if a woman needs Rogam to prevent future pregnancy complications. And because we don't know who's ordering them online, we don't even know if it's a woman who wants an abortion. Does she know there are alternatives? Does she know there are 3,000 pregnancy centers that would love to give her support if she wants to give birth to her child? Or is it a woman? Or is it a sex trafficker, incestuous abuser, coercive boyfriend? No one knows because of the FDA's actions. This is the basis of a lawsuit, which you may or may not know about, that's called the FDA and Danco versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, that was just heard last week at the Supreme Court of the United States. Pro-life doctors sued the FDA and said it is absolutely inappropriate what you've done. You've made your job is to make sure the American people are protected from dangerous drugs. And in this case, you have done exactly the opposite. You have loosed these dangerous drugs upon the population of women in our country. And the data is compelling. If the Supreme Court rules in our favor, it won't take the drug off the market entirely, but it'll put it back with its initial fairly tight conditions of use, which are all common sense, that it's a doctor who prescribes it, who's able to care for complications, that mandatory complication is reporting is required, and that a pre-abortion visit and a post-abortion visit are required to make sure the woman is adequately screened and if she has a complication that it is recognized. So that's where we are today with the FDA. But I'm so glad you introduced the problems with the FDA. We saw that during COVID, but we're also seeing this in relation to these dangerous drugs.
Well, when 3/4 of your money comes from the people that you're supposed to regulate, it really allows for a bias. 100% of the scientists I pay tend to side with my conclusions. I'm just going with
Right.
that.
Our institutions have been captured
Yeah.
both by financial interest and ideologic interest.
Yeah, I was watching it on C-SPAN. So C-SPAN had it on. It was a House Oversight Committee meeting. And I just happened to click on it because I was just looking through to kind of see what the Congress was or wasn't doing because they were gone for 2 weeks because of Easter. They were gone all last week because Easter lasted the whole week. Anyway, the sad part of it is that the amount of hypocrisy and grandstanding and posturing and all the istis, the ists and this and this, that ist and that ist, it's amazing how we can't get to the conclusion where I guess in Texas, you guys were the ones that sued the FDA to take off of their Twitter post that ivermectin kills people, basically. I'm paraphrasing. And the sad part of it is I take HCQ and ivermectin days before I leave to an event, while I'm at the event, and then days after the event because it actually allows me to stay healthy but also recover from that trip while I'm out of town. Other than the tail I have now that I never had before, I'm fine. Everything's great. I whinny once in a while. I like oats. I'm just kidding. But the idea that they keep calling it it's for animals. It was developed for humans. And it was developed for humans. And then there was all these other things that just seemed to help. When you lower the parasite load in the body has other things it can do, like, I don't know, heal itself. And this is and so they were going between ivermectin and abortion pill, and then some of the he wants front side labeling. The FDA director wants front side labeling, and he said that's well within his jurisdiction to be able to do. And he's like, "Well, we'll look into what your jurisdiction is." Sad part of it is he was then placating, saying, "Well, if you guys just gave us more authority to be able to be the backstop or the gatekeeper for things, then we would have better control, and there would be less misinformation in the world." Well, it sounds
Oh
like a
my
whole bunch
goodness.
more government coming into our lives where they're talking about, and then there was a discussion about hemp. And it's like, okay, guys, hemp, if you're using the word hemp, use the word hemp for what it is, a fibrous plant that was the number one cash crop in Kansas prior to marijuana being put on a tax stamp and then no tax stamps issued. We crushed an entire industry here. Hemp is great for fiber, for clothing, for vehicles, for oils, for, I mean, all these different things, right? Which means that cotton industry, the wood industry, and a lot of other people, including the chemical industry, are a little pissed off that they may come around. But he wouldn't answer the question about why hemp cannot be regulated as a supplement. And I'm like, I'm not out there eating hemp. That's not what I'm not going to look for hemp supplements. That's not what hemp is for. But they're trying to conflate because there is THC levels in hemp that it's just like, it is so dumb to watch these people work. I just like shake them. This is the shaken baby syndrome. Like you could take your congressman and your, anyway, but anyway, I'm just ranting. So
Yeah.
sorry about that.
No, actually there's a couple of really good points about what you just said. And for anybody who is inclined to still trust the FDA, they should be aware that I believe the United States has maybe 2, maybe 3% of the world's population. We had 14% of the COVID deaths. So regardless of what you say, we did not do something right. And I do know doctors that have used ivermectin and have been very successful in protecting their patients. So yeah, there's something very odd with the way that we responded to COVID, to say the least. But I do want to point out there's an article that was just hot off the presses today from the Washington Post that I would point your listeners to. Carolyn Kitchener she writes about abortion a lot. She loves abortion. She is very, very pro-abortion. She wrote an article where she made every point that I've made in every interview. For me, she interviewed women who had terrible experiences with abortion drugs. In fact, one woman she described, she had an umbilical cord and a placenta hanging between her legs. She obviously took these drugs unsupervised without any testing, and the baby was probably about 16 weeks along when the upper limit on these drugs is 10. Carolyn, of course, tried to point at the Dobbs decision overturning Roe and blame it. But I'm inclined to remind her these problems started when the FDA removed the safeguards. But the good news is she showed the American public and the Washington Post readers don't listen to what, they don't listen to interviews that I do, but she showed them the reality of these drugs. And so good for her. She didn't mean to. She didn't know what she was doing. She was trying to blame the pro-life states, but she succeeded in showing us all what it looks like when women get access to these drugs without any medical supervision. It's a terrifying read. The women are worried. They don't know who to call. They're calling abortion hotlines in other states. Because again, when they're shipping these pills from New York into my state, Texas, and that woman has a complication, she has no one to turn to except for my emergency room. And I'm privileged to care for her because I love women. But it was totally unnecessary that she ended up there.
Well, and that's a shame that, this is like a discussion that we have to have. I love the idea that when I was studying the zinc and everything and all the different things, and if you don't have enough copper in your body, zinc doesn't absorb, so it doesn't matter COVID and all this other stuff. But the zinc aurora that happens at conception that shows you that there's this flash of light, this beginning of life moment, it's really hard for me to get past that. I was kind of the, there for a while, I did kind of give in to the idea that, okay, heartbeat legislation, right? Again, I'm giving in to their side. I'm trying to give in. And once I learned that about 4 years ago, I'm like, no, uh-uh. Life starts at conception. We're not even going to placate. We're not going to give in to any of this stuff. And there was a time where I was trying to find a common ground. But it wasn't, and I'm going to go back to this statement, and I know this is always controversial, but Roe versus Wade was the privacy between a doctor and a client. It wasn't about abortion. It was about what happens in an exam room, and then they pushed it over to that, but then they push it back to the individual state rights, which is according to the Constitution, what we should do, because individual state constitutions supersede the federal government. We have rights first, and the federal government falls under us. Then to say that abortions were lost because of that, well, that's not accurate either. The sad part of it is the states had been lazy and placated to the federal government, letting them run the decision on things. And again, that's the Uncle Sam model that Lincoln put us under, and we're not in that. So the idea that we are not really paying attention to the real words going on, the spells that we use with words, all these inflections, all this propaganda, all this stuff, it's amazing that we're still fighting, even today, 2024, we're fighting about what conception is. We're fighting about what life is. We're fighting about what contraceptive is. And there was contraceptives back in Egyptian time, and we're still in 2024 trying to figure it out. Like, this is just maddening to me that we have to, we're placating to somebody who's like, all of a sudden, like, I don't want to be pregnant anymore with that guy's baby. Well, that's not that baby's decision. You made that choice that night, whatever day, whatever you were doing. But it's just sad to me that we can't have these conversations honestly as adults and say, hey, you made the decision, stick with it. But the problem is it's more of a genocide than anything.
Well, I think it's very interesting. As you say, the entire issue has been cloaked in euphemisms, and the American public have been lied to for 50 years. So we do have work to do. I don't blame the average person who just does not understand the issue for having an uninformed opinion. Mm-hmm. But people like you, people like me, we need to be talking about it so people can start thinking, what are we really talking about? For one thing, of course, there are people today who will say, who will acknowledge, yeah, I know it's a human being. Yeah, I know it's alive. Its life does not have value unless its mom wants it to have value. And the women need it. So at the very least, we need to start pushing back against women need this. This harms women emotionally because women are biologically primed to bond to their children. So even if it's a woman who never wanted to be pregnant, never wanted to have kids, just, feels like, hey, no big deal. Her biology doesn't know that. And so there's going to be some harm to her, if not physical, at the very least emotionally. And of course, as you mentioned, there are very, very effective contraceptive methods available. So if a woman does not want to have a child, we can almost certainly make it so that she doesn't have a child without conceiving a child and then destroying a child. And then, like you say, between a woman and her doctor, that's been the mantra, safe, legal, and rare. That's been the mantra. And now we have reached the stage, there is no doctor involved because these pills can be prescribed without a doctor. It can be a nurse practitioner or midwife or someone else. And it's not safe. And in many cases, it's not legal. And there were over 1 million last year, so it is not rare. So all of those reassuring euphemisms and mantras that the people have gotten used to, they need to recognize all of that's changed.
Now, do
It's
we
all
have.
turned on its head. As long as that baby dies, unborn baby dies, it does not matter to the abortion industry if the woman is collateral damage. They are willing to let that happen in order to promote their eugenic population control. And I don't know what all the motivation is, but there's some very evil motivations behind all of this.
Well, it's all about population control, and controlling certain populations is also the other problem. What I don't like is that when you have an abortion in a clinic, they're supposedly legally obligated to report each abortion to be able to track for medical reasons, right? Which I don't always trust at how many are actually happening because there are some.
There's no requirement for
Oh, there's
that.
no
So that
requirement.
is all voluntary reporting too.
Oh, so the million that they say they're doing is voluntary?
Yeah, so by the way, that's the Guttmacher Institute, which is very pro-abortion. If we look at the CDC's numbers, for example, the CDC in the year prior to that, I don't know what last year's reporting was, 630,000 abortions. Guttmacher said there were almost 900,000. So there's two organizations giving numbers, and they're off by about 50%. So this just goes to data deficiencies. No complication reporting requirements, no reporting requirements when women die, and we don't even know what the number is. And of course, now that they're being mailed to women in states where it's illegal from New York or from Amsterdam, we have no idea. We have no idea how many of
So
these pills
that
are
the
being
amount
used.
of those pills going out again, so we could be seeing another 1 to 3 million abortions that are happening, late term abortions, because they don't want to go to a clinic because a pill's cheaper, easier to get a hold of. But in reality, these are women who should are asking for a medical procedure that is more intensive than probably, I don't know what, kidney surgery, appendix surgery, gallbladder surgery. I mean, there's a lot of surgeries you can go through that's not going to do what your uterus has to go through in a involuntary abortion of the body, like getting the body to have a miscarriage.
Right,
There's
they're going into labor, and about 6% when it's early, about 40% when it's in the second trimester are also requiring a surgery. So that's what these women are going through.
And so, okay, and so this is again, why is it? I just find this really weird. I'm 52. I'll be 53 in May. I don't know if I've ever been in that moment going, you know, I don't know what happens at the end of this whole thing. Huh. Poop. Oh, hey, you're not pregnant, are you? I mean, I don't know when I was really ever confused about that physical act and the possible outcomes it can bring. I this is the part where I'm really, how are we in 2024 still having this conversation where women are like, I don't know why I'm pregnant. Oh, it just happened. Whoo, toilet seats. Like, how does this?
Well,
Go ahead.
to be perfectly honest, Planned Parenthood is in the schools at a very early age. I think we all recognize this. They're in there with their transgender ideology. They're in there with their LGBT promotion. They're in there with early sexual initiation promotion, and they throw out like, oh, here's how to put a condom on, but condoms don't work all that well, so they're not promoting effective contraception to young women, but they are promoting early onset and frequent sexual intercourse. And so something's got to go. I mean, even a contraception that might work sometimes doesn't work all the time. And so that's why we're seeing so many pregnant women. And these women don't understand embryology. They don't understand human development. They're not being taught that. So when they deliver their 10-week fetus, and he's about the size and shape of a gummy bear with arms, legs, a face, Of course, they're shocked. No one ever told them that the child is that developed at that early age. So we've raised a generation of children that we've taught all the, I mean, not you and me personally, but we, our school systems or whatever have taught all the wrong things. And this is the downstream effect is that we've got all these young girls, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, getting pregnant, not knowing what to do, taking these pills. Can you imagine the mental health crisis that we've got ahead of us?
It is
That all that
amazing.
these girls are doing this, they're seeing the outcome, they're seeing the fact that they destroyed their own child, and there's nobody there to help them.
Unintended consequences. Simple as that. Oh, I'm just going to do this. No one will ever know. And then next thing you know, you're in an emergency room and going to emergency surgery. And then you have to explain to your parents what's really going on. And it may sterilize you. By the way, the sterilization side of this, do we know the statistics on how many women have been sterilized because they went to this pill or to this method or even just abortions in general?
We don't know that statistic because there is no desire to know that, and there is almost no one keeping track of that. So that is there all these long-term effects are very, very poorly studied in our country because most abortions are not paid for by insurance. They're paid for privately. We have no idea of even knowing who's having abortions because when they show up to an emergency room, they have often been told by the abortion industry, pretend it's a miscarriage. Doctors can't tell the difference. We documented in a study that we did, a very high-quality study, that 60% of the time when they showed up with a complication from these drugs, they were miscoded as a miscarriage. So there's deception everywhere. There is really this system-wide effort to downplay. And these women, they are harmed because I've cared for many of them. They're also ashamed. They don't want to talk about it. And many of them have told me, Dr. Scop, I think this is what I deserved for making the decision I did. So they're not going to sue the doctor. They're not going to complain. They're not going to talk to anybody about it. They're just going to carry that guilt for the rest of their lives and think that they deserved this complication that happened to them. So that's the reality of where we are. It's a tragic place to be.
Yeah, guilt and fear is a great motivator, and not always in a good way. Doctor, are you still going? Are you still able to keep going, or we got to get you out of here?
You am have to probably wind it, wrap it up in about 5 minutes, maybe.
Well, thank you for everything you're doing, and I we just jumped headlong on this because I know I only had you for a few minutes. Can we give out your email, your website, whatever? People want to talk to you, help support you, find out your information. How do we do that for you?
Sure. So the organization I work for is called the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Lozier, which you can Google. The website is Lozier, Lozier Institute.org. And not just information about abortion drugs. I've got information there about maternal mortality. This whole myth that we're all hearing that doctors in pro-life states can't treat women appropriately, that it's going to increase maternal mortality. This is, of course, is also all lies, but actually it has had the adverse effect of confusing doctors. And so we're seeing in some states doctors sitting on their hands, not intervening for women with emergencies when they should, because they're confused about the laws, they're frightened. And unfortunately, our pro-abortion medical organizations like the American Medical Association and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, very eugenic organizations, they promote abortion for that reason. They have intentionally stirred up confusion. They have not given doctors guidance, and which is such a dishonorable thing to do. They've caused women to be harmed, and you'll see those women in Biden's commercials this fall because the women are now being used to promote abortion when they had a tragic pregnancy loss of a desired child, and now they, whether they know it or not, they're being used to promote abortion on demand. They're being used to try to destroy pro-life laws. So all information about all of that is on our website too. So I just, I think the very first place that we need to start is for the American public to educate themselves, to know what it is we're talking about, to try not to think of this as a political party issue, but to think of it as a human rights issue. And then as we can go from there with an educated populace, then I think we can really make some ground on this issue.
No, I'm just looking at the stuff on your website here, and it's just amazing that we have to live through this. Now, I will tell you, spend the time to go see the FDA House Oversight Committee meeting today. That gentleman, he was there for hours, and there's times I was just like, shut up, you know, and then there's other times I'm like, oh, you're an idiot, and you don't know what. I mean, the sad part of this guy is a cardiologist and was an emergency room specialist and all this other stuff, and the sad part is he obviously studied to a test. He does not look at the greater picture. He's not a free thinker. He studied to the test. He knows what the answers are according to the test he was taking, and he doesn't understand the things that he was saying and the impact he has. So if you get a chance to go watch that, it is absolutely, well, it's not that great of a show. There's some things in there like, shut up. So I hope you do that. Anything else you want to add before we get you out of here?
No, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, I'd be happy to come back on another day. We can tackle another issue if you want. Thanks for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, no, it's been fantastic having you. It's been great. You've been a great part of the show. Definitely, I'll get a hold of your guy and have him schedule back in here. I just didn't know what my schedule was next week. I got a couple of moving pieces for next week, but maybe we can get you on next week, do a full hour, and maybe we'll stay on. We could talk about glyphosate, or we can talk about, you know, whatever, however you want, how far you want to go down some of these rabbit holes of how our body is being dysfunctioned by those government entities that we pay for. So it's kind
right. I have opinions on that, but maybe I should stick to my area of expertise, but I do have opinions.
I play a doctor on TV, so I have no authority, but I just, you know, it's what I do. But I've been big on this stuff and the health of my own body. I mean, I have transformed who I am and my body and things, and I hate having to live through this disease I've had. At 52, I'm far happier and healthier now than I've been in decades. So there are a lot of moving pieces to all that. But anyway, thank you, doctor, so much for having come on the show, and we'll get you back on again. What's the name of that website one more time?
LOZIERinstitute.org.
Very good. Yeah, I posted it in one of the comments here, so I'll get that post around for you. Doctor, thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
You've been a great host or a great guest. I hope I've been a good host. I don't know, I'm apologizing already.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Well, that was a great interview with her. And this is a part of the show where when I was watching parts of this thing, this guy sent me an email and said, hey, she, you know, she's available. And I'm like, man, this is like what I'm watching right now. And anyway, so I went ahead and called and made the appointment made the scheduling to have her on the show. And I hope you guys were listening to everything she was talking about. There's a lot of things out there that we don't realize that we have actually allowed our governments to kind of really blur the lines of reality. I will have to say that the amount of legislative malfeasance is big. And what I mean by that is they've allowed for things to happen and the court of public opinion or the trial attorneys have really swayed and directed our country into certain ways and certain places that were never intended for us to be there, because through the courts, oh, the judge said we can have ivermectin. Oh, the judge said we have an open southern border. The judge says that we have to give shelter to all these Hispanic and Central American and the Middle Eastern and Chinese and Russians that are just coming across the border. We have to give them money and a place to stay and transportation because they just don't have anything. And, oh, this is the problem, guys, is that when we have the judges coming in and doing this, the judges really have no authority, but we keep going to them and asking them for that and then wonder why it's all screwed up. We can't go to the Supreme Court and go, Supreme Court, can you please do it my way? Because they're limited by the Constitution if they know what they're doing. And any judge will give you the day in court and allow you to speak your mind freely as you want and not according to procedure or the British Accredited Register, the Bar Associated Register, the Bar Registration, that whole thing, that British Accredited Register, that whole crap show we have there. My problem is that when we think of our legislators not doing their job, it makes you feel even more icky when they are out there spending trillions of dollars you don't have, when they're not bothering to clean up the laws or do things that really matter in your life. And if they're not doing everything to limit the amount of laws and rules and regulations, and then also making sure to prop up those that are person crimes. Now listen to me. If there is no person, there is no crime. But in a situation where someone is being given a pill that kills a human being, there should be a lot of people involved in that decision, including the father. And why is it fathers, the men who go out and build the infrastructure of this country, the men who go out and build cars, and yes, I know some women to do it too, that go out and build cars and hot rods and Mount Rushmore and skyscrapers and airplanes and all this other crap. How come we don't get to decide whether we want children or not? How come we don't get to decide whether we keep, hey, you don't want the baby? Fine, I'll keep it. No, 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 mom, you go over there. Thank you for the baby. I'm going to go do my own thing. See, that I don't think women actually give men enough credit, because we've got talked about this across the board. I'll tell you the statistics again. You go out there and prove me wrong if you'd like. You can go down the whole thing of, well, Jim Price may be this, but he ain't that smart. But let me give you the statistics that hurt a lot. The statistical fact that a child is more likely to stay out of prison. They are more likely to stay out of prison at a 70% rate. It's actually higher than that. I'm just using rounded numbers, so I don't want to get everybody mad at me here. A man and a woman that are the mother and father of a child gives them a success rate of staying out of prison actually down to like a less than 20%. Like they only have like a 20% ratio that they would actually go to prison. So over 70% possibility of not going to prison if you have your mother and your father in your home while you're a child. After an adult, it doesn't really matter. If there is the mother of the child and a man in the home, it drops down about 10 to 15%. Not much, but just about a little bit. If it is a mother-only household, you are 70 to 80% likely to go to prison. If you're in a single family, single mother home, you are 70 to 80% more likely to go to prison. Now, what's the ratio that I didn't put in there? If you are a single father, like I was a single father, you have the same likelihood of keeping your kid out of prison that a bio mother and a bio father do. Did you know that? So when women are out there saying men don't know what they're doing, men aren't this, men aren't that, I will tell you the biggest thing that I wish I had was the softer side of a woman in my home so that that part of my kid's life was fulfilled. But I did what I could, and I will tell you right now, if I have the same statistical standard to be able to keep my kids out of prison as a single father, then why are single mothers habitually given children every single time? I fought, got my kids. I did not ask for my kids. I asked what was for best for my kids. And the mediator, who was a hatchet man from the word go, he cut you down in a second. He gave me custody of my kids because I said I wanted what's best for my kids, not the 1,100 pages that was faxed to him about how horrible I am. So my problem is, guys, Jeanette, good to see you. Dona, good to see you as well. Carrie Heiserman, Sarah, it's great having you guys and all your conversations. It's awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Lindsay as well, John Rader, and Edward, Ken, you guys are doing a great job. So thank you so much for the comments. You guys got kind of quiet, though, here, and so I just thought maybe I'd just call you out, see if you guys are still alive. But if we have a situation where I have to spend that amount of time and that amount of money and trying to prove my innocence, then end up getting my kids in full custody. I had full custody of my kids. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now that our world, our country, is really backwards. If the legislators and the judges and the police and the social workers all believe that the mother is the best place for the children, they are not looking at the statistical anomaly of the single father. They're not looking at the facts that they are trying to hide from you. They know what these facts are, folks, but they literally go against us. And this is not something that came up in 2018 in a study. This is centuries of study, guys. They've been doing this for almost 200 years, trying to find out what the best ratio for a mother, father, or for a child's environment. And I will tell you right now, at the rate of over 80% of black children do not have a father in the home, and you wonder why that black males are committing 80% of the violent crimes, you kind of got to do the math, folks. Black males make up 6% of this United States population. 6% of the United States population is committing over 70% of the physical harm crimes. A physical crime, meaning the assault or greater. But yet, we're going to have this conversation about, oh, well, we got to make sure that people have the right access to the pill. We got to make sure that we can do as many abortions as possible. Well, how about we just put the fathers back in the home and put fathers back into the God-centered family unit that we should all be a part of? Why haven't we done this? Why aren't we pushing for this? Why aren't we demanding this? See, the problem is fathers are so undermined and so pushed away that why would I want to bother to be even more wrong so you can sit over there on the sideline and tell me how I'm not doing it right? Well, I don't even want to be a father. I'll just pay you the child support. Just leave me out of it. So when fathers are demonized and fathers are ran after, why do fathers run away? Because they're tired of the crap. They're tired of society telling men are the dullards, men are the dummies, men don't know how to do anything. Well, if that's true, then you guys go out and do it. You guys go hang those power lines. You guys go dig those ditches and put the sewers in and work at the sewer plant. You guys go run those long-haul trucks. You guys go out there and run those framing crews. Because, guys, I did construction for almost 40 years, and I will go out and swing a hammer with anyone. I don't care what they got between their legs, what they do at home, or whatever. I don't care. But I will tell you right now that these jobs are hard, and they're hard, and men do them without complaint every single day. I've got more scars on my body than I have stories to tell you how they got there. I've got a scar on my pinky. I have no idea to this day. It goes clear across and down my finger. I have no idea where that injury was from. It's probably at work. I probably just glued it shut or put some tape on it and just kept on working. When I was cutting through some blocks and I ran a saw from my index finger all the way through my wrist, I just grabbed my hand and put it in my bag and hoped that it wasn't too bad. Now, it didn't go into the skin, but it did put teeth marks into my hand. It was a mistake. The wood went through a knot, or the blade went through a knot in the wood, and it jumped out and got me. It's something that happens, but I didn't take the day off. I didn't go to the emergency room. I just put the skin back where it was supposed to go on my hand, and I went back to work. I had a cut in the middle of my forehead here from a hammer when I was driving a nail in, and it hit off the truss, and the hammer came back and hit me right in the middle of the forehead because I was right up next to it. I was up there in the trusses really trying to get work done. I didn't stop. I didn't even put a Band-Aid on it. I just kept working, and that was first thing in the morning, like at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's probably why it happened. I was a little tired. It was a weekend job. I had already worked a full week plus night job, and I was going to go do this other job on top of it. But when we run around and we don't want to give emphasis where it really belongs and actually talk about facts in the way that they really present themselves, and then we find ourselves fighting about ivermectin and whether the FDA should be talking shit down on ivermectin, and that's what they were doing. They were talking about ivermectin as if they were making fun of the medication for human reasons at all. But yet it was given a Nobel Prize for human consumption. Ta-da. But we raced past the idea that HCQ is still sitting out there. And HCQ wasn't something that they ran down. HCQ does work. And HCQ, including ivermectin, it is an amazing cocktail of healing. And it does amazing things for your body. But again, we can't have that conversation. We can't have the conversation about what really works. We can't have the conversation about how these fathers are amazing at what they do and they can raise children in amazing ways. Because if we do that, then we might actually be successful. And for some reason, I've just had this feeling that my government doesn't want to be successful. And doesn't want me to be successful, because everything that I have seen from the DOD contracting I did for almost 18 years, 17 and a half years, everything I've done in the construction world, which is usually permit related, right? Homes, commercial buildings, industrial things. The bigger the project, the more the government, and the slower it goes. Did you know that we had on the military bases, it's called a gate fee, Everything is 30 to 50% more expensive behind the gate of a military installation than it is in the real world. Only because of all the BS that you have to put up with. Only because you have to go through the security gates that have sometimes up to a 2-hour wait to get onto the base. I would have concrete trucks coming in and sitting there and the mix getting hot because they can't get through the inspection because there's a backup. And so we had to make sure and time our concrete trucks so that we knew that it wouldn't be there first thing in the morning when there was a lot of civilian traffic coming through the gates. Because the concrete truck, once it gets the concrete gets to a certain point, it gets hot, it'll flash and means it'll just turn into a big rock instantaneously. But again, that's where we don't have this. We don't have this conversation because why? Because our government's amazing. We can't talk about how stupid our government is. Oh, no, it's about safety, Jim. We got to make sure it's safety, safety, safety. So then why do I have to escort the truck all the way from the gate to the place and then all the way back? Why? Because they're carrying the nuclear bomb in the concrete truck? I'm out there trying to blow up what I just built? Again, guys, my security clearances were so high, they were above what my security people had. The people that were giving me the badge didn't have the security clearances that I had. But yet, this is where the lunacy of where we keep chasing our tail in the wrong directions and we find ourselves on the wrong side of everything. We don't know what abortions are. We don't know what pregnancy is. We don't know what ivermectin is. It's been around 60 years. Oh, I don't know what HCQ is. That's something weird. Then why do we give out tens of thousands of doses every single day of HCQ to military personnel from America across this globe every single day? Tens of thousands. I've lost track of the number of how many doses of HCQ our military buys every single day. I'm just telling you guys, we absolutely are being lied to and it cannot continue down this path. We have to get better at this. Anyway, that was my rant. That was wild. Whew. I was wound up for days on that stuff. But this is what we have to talk about. Talk about these things in the way that they should be. Talk about them and so that we can actually get better and be more mindful of how the world can be a better place. And if we quit lying to each other about this stuff, think about how amazing this would be. If we just quit lying about all these little things, it's going to get better. There's a lot more to us out there than these little bitty fights that we get in over the dumbest things that don't really matter. All right, that was it. That's all I got. What else? There was something else I was going to tell you guys about today, and let me see if I can find anything in my notes here. Matthew McConaughey has come out to say that there's an initiation process in Hollywood. Let's see. Prosecutors in Trump's case being put under microscope in new documentary. Yeah, the Georgia case is falling apart. The D.C. case is falling apart. The New York case is falling apart. It's all not going well. Anyway, then Trudeau, he's been doing some his usual crap. Trudeau tries to pretend China didn't rig elections in his favor, even after damaging public information as coming out. That's a whole thing, too, as well. It's just, Trudeau, like we thought that everybody loved Trudeau. Who out there, come on, guys. Who literally believes that Trudeau really won the election? Come on. Seriously. If you guys really believe that, you let me know. But this is a problem. We know there's something wrong, and we do nothing about it. We know there's something wrong, and we do nothing about it. We knew something's wrong, we do nothing about it. Abortions, ventilators, ivermectin, HCQ. The one lady asked about bleaching your blood. That is actually a process. Putting your blood through a machine, having it bleached, or having hydrogen peroxide, or having it oxygenated, is actually a true medical FDA-approved process. And the FDA director said, I've never heard of anybody chlorinating their blood. So my problem is, folks, is if we don't stand up and do this differently, then we're going to fall victim to it again. They're coming out with they're going to try to come out with the bird flu. They're going to try to come out with a lot of other things, and it's not going to get any better. So again, just be mindful of the world around us. It's just not, it's our job to stand up for what is right, administer the contract called the Constitution, and then go forward. So, all right, guys. Well, Untruda, yeah, Edward says it's more like Untruda, not whatever that guy's name up there in Canada. So anyway, Laurent, I haven't seen you today, so I'm sure you watch the show later. Laurent and Sue, those guys always kind of watch it sometimes after. Sometimes they get to watch it live, which is great to have them here as well. All right, guys. Well, remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less they have to do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. The world will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line. Hold fast. Do not give up. Do not give in. We will win. I promise. Don't make promise. Can't keep. Guys, you've always been the answer. Remember, the Constitution limits the government, but never limits you. You have always got the right to stand up for you and do what you want to do. That's called freedom and liberty. Freedom is the movement of the body. Liberty is the freedom of the mind. Anything that comes to your mind, that's your liberty. You get to do what you want, how you want to do it. That's how we do it here. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Tomorrow's Friday. I don't know. We'll see what we can come up with for tomorrow. I don't think I have any guests scheduled. I know I don't have any guests scheduled right now, but things do change, right? Just like today. We will do the call on Monday. Monday night, we will do the 7 p.m. Central Zoom call for those of you guys who want to be a part of that. 7 p.m. Central Monday night. We'll do our Zoom call. We had a great time last week, couple hours. And if you guys want to be a part of it, yeah, I'll send out the Zoom. I think I'm just going to get a dedicated Zoom link that you can just come back to week after week. And that way we don't have to keep, rescheduling all that. See who that is. Top Secret Account. That's got to be cool. That's the name of somebody over on Clout Hub that has shared my show out. So anyway, all right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. Got a question, comments, get a hold of me, JimPrice@thejimpriceshow.com, or just go to thejimpriceshow.com and order your t-shirt, corner of badass and cool shit. I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys love to get to each other out there, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.